Oracle Soup. Dishing up tasty morsels of tarot wisdom and other oracular tidbits with your hosts, Katrina Nguyen and Gina Thies. Two saucy sisters broadcasting from the magnificent Oregon coast and from deep in the heart of Texas. And inviting your questions about tarot, oracles, counseling skills, reading advice, and more. Be sure to visit our website at oraclesoup.org to listen to our podcast archive. You can also visit us on Facebook and like our Oracle Soup page, where you can share your wisdom and request for Oracle Soup topics. Soup is hot now, and it's ready to be served. Howdy, 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 and welcome to Oracle Soup. And you're going to have some southern dishes today.
Oh, my goodness. This is Gina Thies serving up another episode with my dear gal pal here, Katrina Nguyen. How you doing?
Yoo-hoo! Yeah! Hey, I am so excited about our guest. This is like a really dear friend. She's a southern sister. It's the one and only Valentina Burton. And those of you in the Dallas, Texas area, y'all know her real well, but we know her in other areas too, don't we, Gina?
We sure do. Well, she is known as the fortune teller of Dallas and has been a dear friend of mine for several years now. And we talk about this interesting story of how we met. But she's just a delightful, delightful person. Everyone loves her. She just has this she's very elegant, and she just has this really suave.
She's like a flashback to the 20s.
Yeah, she's like this walking flapper. Well, she's not really a flapper, but she's reminiscent. Her style is very reminiscent of that. It works for her. You know, it's like, I don't even know what period I belong in if I had a style. But I love when someone can kind of run consistent across the board with a level of style and elegance. And she definitely is well-versed and well-bred in that manner. So we are very happy to have her here at the kitchen table with us on Kitchen Table Conversation.
And what I hope our listeners realize is what an amazing professional she is, too. Don't you have a featured card for us today, Miss Gina?
We do. We will be looking at the King of Pentacles as our featured card. And the King of Pentacles, don't you just love when a King of Pentacles shows up in your life? Don't we all love that?
It could be the King of Pentacles, or in some deck, you might be looking at the Knight of Pentacles. It's sort of like that mature male or masculine energy or figure. And some cards, the deck would be, you know, we're talking about people cards or court cards. It could also be the Man of Pentacles or the Sage. There's a lot of different names that show up, but we're really talking about the very last card. You might call it the 14th card in the suit of Pentacles.
Yes, well, I just refer to him or her because, you know, different depending on how you look at these personalities, but typically in rank, it's the King, and this is the head honcho. I like to call this card the Great Manifestor card, because for me, it's like the ultimate manifester. There's prosperity involved with it. This person is often a business person, running a business, or just has a great mind for entrepreneurial endeavors, I should say. So I always look at it when this shows up, you've got to get busy. It's going to happen. Sometimes people can make money. It's involving money, you know, but sometimes not for themselves, but they make it happen for other people. So it's like they have the Midas touch in this card when it's represented. It's also a card of, you know, being very practical and conservative sometimes in how you handle financial affairs.
Yeah, some of the key words that come up that are in line with what you're talking about is professionalism, experience, eldership, someone who would be like the CEO of that corporation, someone who's also a mentor for others and able to guide them along. But I like to extend the idea of Pentacles sometimes beyond things like money, because often we think of it as health, we think of it as our bodies. We also think about it as all things material. So this could be a person who's mastered their craft. Maybe they work with earthly materials. They could still be an artist, but maybe they're working with clay, you know, or maybe they're a house builder.
Yeah. Typically for me, it is involving real estate. because sometimes these are real estate agents. Like, I try to think of what's the most practical things that would be. And typically, it's like things around the home, real estate. You ever read for a room of real estate people? That card keeps coming up. It really does. It's so strange for me, at least. But yes, it could be also represent sometimes medical professionals dealing with the body.
Exactly. Master healer.
Master healer. So it's a great card. On the flip side of that, you would have someone who would be very tight, not a spendthrift, they call it, spendthrift.
Or stingy or greedy.
Stingy, you know? Miserly, and you know, just not very generous, or does not allow themselves to grow very much. You know, it's like they are the kind of like, instead of being more about the fruitfulness, they're like, oh, you know, tight.
Right. Scarcity consciousness.
Scarcity. Yes.
Unethical, especially around maybe medical issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The Pentacles is a very maternal, mother, feminine thing. So to be in that role when you're the head honcho, you know, that to me says that you are in touch with a deeper feminine aspect, regardless of gender. Obviously, if you're female, you would be in touch with that.
Yeah, I think of it as eldership in general. Yeah, just being an elder or being a sage or a master in that particular suit, that particular element. So definitely stay tuned to our incredible fun kitchen table conversation with our girl Valentina.
Welcome to Oracle Soup, and I feel like I am totally back to my roots, feeling good. We're having some wonderful root food here. And I'm sitting with two gorgeous Texas ladies. And this is Katrina with
Gina Thies. And we are so excited and lucky to have a very special person with us at the kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
We have Miss Valentina Burton here with us today.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Howdy.
It's so good to have you here.
Howdy, y'all.
In the kitchen with us.
She is truly in the kitchen with us. I'm looking at this gorgeous woman with black hair, red, like ruby lips.
The most fantastic lipstick ever.
Yes. Mac Russian red, ladies.
Yes. Oh.
Yes. Take a note. And it's been years finding the perfect red lipstick.
It is the perfect red lipstick.
And then your tone of your skin is like almost alabaster.
Yeah.
You know, you've got this contrast going on. And the beautiful roses. Of course, I'm just a sucker for roses and hearts.
She's coveting your look and jewelry. You have to watch her.
I get influenced.
It's great. But you have consistent, beautiful style. And one of the things we have in common, and always talk about how we met and my shoe suitcase. And
should we tell that story?
Yeah, it's really tell funny. That story.
Please do.
Oh, how we met.
It was so funny. So I was going to my first reader's studio, and I'm on the plane, and I said, sat there just tucked into my book the whole time because I thought, I don't want to talk to these little people next to me because once I say I'm a tarot reader, you know, the whole flight will be about either them judging me or trying to get me to do a reading. So I was being real quiet. And then at the very end, they, you know, almost like we're landing, right? Almost the landing gear is down. They're kind of like, so, where are you going to New York for? And I was like, I'm going to a tarot convention. In front of me pops up this beautiful woman who turns around and goes, Reader Studio? Me too.
Are you going to Reader Studio?
Yeah. I was like, who are you? Oh, I'm Gina. Oh my gosh. Well, where do you live? Frisco, which is what, 20 minutes up the street from me? Okay. I never had met her before.
By me, she means Dallas.
Yeah. So how weird is that? And then we get off the flight, and so we're walking out to go to whatever, the shuttle to the airport. And she's like, well, I've got some check bags I need to go get. And I was like, well, okay. And then I discovered, I don't even remember the conversation, one entire Rolly case of her luggage was just for her shoes. And at that moment, I fell in love a little. I was like, you are so exactly my kind of person.
You have a shoe suitcase? Oh, yeah. Who doesn't have a shoe suitcase?
Oh, sweetie. That was just wonderful. This is great.
So this kind of brings us back to this whole thing about what is it about maybe a Texas point of view or a Southern point of view, and especially maybe how it rolls over into our work in the world.
Right. Well, it's really great to have her so close, and we have so many things in common. And what I recognize is there are different perspectives, there's different views on to how to approach divination, mm-hmm. and what you use it for. Is it this sort of thing? Do you use it for prediction? Do you use it for just therapeutic uses, and or neither? It's only a self, you know, to a tool for self introspection. And so everybody does it differently. And as Southern gals, you know, we come from a different approach altogether. It's like, what else are you going to use it for? You know, we grew up with people using this for divinatory purposes in the sense of prediction and figuring things out, knowing when something's going to happen. It is not foreign to us to think about that sort of thing at all. No. I think more of the therapeutic aspect, which comes in much later, I think, from the way our approach and is just something new, because it's a growth thing, and it is that does have to be incorporated. So has that been your experience, Valentina?
Yeah, because I think in the South you get, and my clients are from all over, because Dallas is one of those cities, very international city, and probably 80% of my clients are from somewhere else. You know, they're from Dubai, or they're from Italy, or someplace like that. But because Dallas still is the South, and in the South, like when I used to get readings when I was a kid, it was the playing cards. It was the little ladies that would read, but the playing cards. And I read tarot cards like that.
Yes.
You know, I don't read like most.
Like they tell you you're supposed to read.
Ain't no Celtic cross in my world. Ain't no Celtic cross.
Yeah, and there's no wiggle room. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it is direct. It is real predictive, right? I thought it was really funny people getting all over the Lenormand thing with, you know, oh, well, it's so precise and direct.
I know.
Like, well, tarot cards will be like that, too, if you read them that way.
Exactly. That's why we're just like in each other's head, because I say that precisely. I said it's just another set of symbols, but you don't. Why do you switch and go, well, I need this set, Lenormand, to do more of a fortune telling? It's like, I, you know, again, not that I couldn't, but it's like, but it's you have many more symbols to get more detail. If you really want to go detail, I think tarot will tell you the details just in pure images, even if you use just a Rider Waite. It's like,
exactly.
There's so many things there already. You know, if that's your talent. See, I think it also has to do with the level of talent of the person.
And Valentina, you use what kind of deck these days?
Well, I'm currently using the Centennial Rider-Waite Smith. I love it. I think it's beautiful. I'm really stuck between, like, the Edwardian era and 1927.
So, can I be curious for a moment? Because I'm imagining there might be someone listening right now, and they're going, well, I've never approached tarot that way before. And maybe between the two of you gals, you can give us some details about, like, what would happen in a typical reading? Let's say a person asks a question. Is that really important that there be a very specific question, for instance?
Well, or the question can be, what's happening over the next 6 months? Or what's the theme of this next year? There needs to be something. Otherwise, you're going to just pull up things, but they'll be kind of gobbledygook. I mean, what do you...
So there are answers, basically. There's a question,
right.
And then there's an answer. So it's very specific to that context.
Right. Yeah. It is a question answer, not a, like, therapy kind of thing.
My approach is very different. I prefer that a person has, in terms of questions, not yet. I start off with one card and I make it the focus, and I basically say your focus, and I put a time stamp on it, just setting out, because most people won't think, they may be thinking, I always just say 6 months to 1 year on either side of this reading, things you're going to be focusing about. And based on the card that you will choose, which is usually a significator, you know, a court card. And I just tell them, this is where your focus is. It's an old method that I learned from one of my mentors. I haven't missed.
Right.
I have not. Because it's just like, it's not, so it's general, but then it's like, okay, then we're going to build the reading on that.
Well, and I do something actually really similar. What I say to make it, I don't choose a significator or anything. I let that pop up because it always does. I will say, I'm looking at your life from now to 6 months out. and it's like I'm looking at the sitcom of You, and this is what episode you're in.
Yes,
right?
And that's beautiful.
And that gets them out of also their drama. They immediately laugh because frequently when people are coming, they're coming for a reason. There's a thing, and they're all caught up in the story of the drama of that thing.
And that's exactly why I make them hold on, because I'm like, you got stuff. So the thing of just pick this and make them look, they're already not thinking about... Oh, what do you want me to what car? What? Don't worry about what it means. I don't even really care. Just pick something. So their mind is already shifting away from
I'm caught up in my story.
I'm caught up in my story.
Right. But see, I consider that a question because I am saying to the cards or whatever it is that speaks. All right, show me this person's life between now and the middle of February.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right. So that is like a container to put the reading in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why I said. The perimeter, and you get a starting point because most people can go to themselves for the most part, but sometimes most of the time people are thinking about stuff outside of themselves, and to put a container of time and honing in on, okay, your focus is these things, okay, that sounds fair, and they agree, and then I move into saying I'm going to go through this, and then I'm going to get quiet, and then you step in, and then I look for validation, confirmation, or go ahead with the questions, however you want to go, and so it works out to where they're like, oh, well, you get me, and this, and that, this is exactly where I need to go, and in terms of like getting a question and then having to rephrase a question, which I think, well, now the focus is really shifted because we're really asking a different question.
Well, so, you know, I make them show up with questions too. You're not getting, you don't get a reading from me unless you record it, show up with questions, and do your homework. I'm really kind of bitchy about that shit because I don't want to burn out. It's really easy to burn out in this field.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm getting people who are, you know, committed to, and it's got to be an interesting process for me too.
Yes.
So, the first layout usually answers a few of their questions. Mm-hmm. So that's really efficient. We can go deeper into the details of it then. And they will see, oh, yeah, well, it is talking to me because, yeah, that's exactly, their faces are really funny because they'll sit down and be kind of like, well, okay, the next 6 months. And then I start talking and they're like, oh, well, that's exactly what's going on with me. Okay.
Yes.
You know, which is amusing.
Yes.
So a couple of questions here. First off, with you, Valentina, you mentioned something about talking to the cards. Is that where, for you, information is transformed? Does it come directly from the cards? I know there's some people where maybe someone like Gina, where it's more psychic, and the cards might be maybe a stimulus for that.
Yeah, the cards are kind of they're like a diving board. They're like a place to jump off. A lot of times, if I'm doing, and I. Just for the record, I hate doing medium stuff. I'm trained in it, but I don't like doing it because I think sometimes this is horrible, but again, I'm bitchy, whatever. I think it's kind of a waste of time, you know? Oh, grandma loves you. Okay, awesome. You know, I'm a Scorpio. Let's cut to the chase and get the shit fixed, right? Let's get questions answered. To me, the cards are it's almost like, I noticed this the other day, I'm even putting cards down and not looking at them. If we're talking about, where did grandpa leave the will? I'm talking to grandpa.
Right.
And I will see him and...
Right.
You know, and so it's almost like the reflex, the action of the mixing and the putting down.
It's like a ritual.
Yeah, it's a trigger for me. Yeah,
It is a ritual, and you kind of get your portals opened up.
I'm clairvoyant, so when I see the cards, it is what do the cards mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like there's a little movie going in front of my eyes all the time, which is irritating as shit. You should see Tom; he gets real upset when I drive. He's like. Look at the road. Stop looking at whatever,
movie.
Whatever Fellini film is going on in front of your eyes, right? So there's like these layers of things that are going on at any given time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really good.
No, so it makes perfect sense for someone. I understand the movie part.
It ties into a psychic way that, I mean, psychic is a word I think most people could maybe relate to.
Right.
That's relatively neutral.
Well, psychic is like musician. It is so general.
Yes.
It just means something coming through channels that are not your five senses or whatever.
Yeah, so it's not about memorizing the cards and reportage. It's more like, here are the cards and my psychic juices are flowing.
Right. Well, and... You know, there's knowing what the cards mean, too. It's like it's a layered thing.
It's layered. You can do a mechanical reading. You can do and go into your own process which, because you're receiving information. So what's your psychic antenna that's up? You may be more clairaudient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may be empathic. So there are these different channels of the information. Sometimes all of them kind of fire off.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that until after I decided, okay, well, this is what I'm doing. And no, I'm only a tarot card reader. I don't do this other stuff, but it happens anyway. Yeah. If you allow it, I suppose. Yeah. And then you can, you know, control it. So in terms of what else do you do for your clients if they are looking for something more specific in terms of help, or you see that, you know, this particular thing that I do will also help you? So what else do you do for
clients? I'm a conjure gal. I'm a root worker. I don't take work for people, but I teach classes in hoodoo and root work in Dallas, and then frequently some people don't need that, want that, they won't do it, that's fine. But if people want to do a thing that creates a solution, I will teach them how to do that. You know, hand them those herbs and give them the instructions and email them some stuff, because that's a way. They almost always get some kind of a reading list. Here's things to read about making change. You know, homework.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Educate yourself.
You really can't come see me without homework. I'm not gonna.
You're a taskmaster.
I am. I'm kind of tough. You know, people who come to me and are like, oh, just tell me what's going to happen to me, and I'm not interested in changing, but just tell me what's going to happen.
That's very passive, isn't it?
I fire those clients. Yeah. I will say, you know, I really don't need your money. Goodbye, you know. And anymore, they don't really get in because I do a thing to screen people.
Yeah. So is that kind of like saying you're only, and this kind of sounds like me a bit too, you're only interested in people who really are interested in changing and doing the work necessary to accomplish the tasks that they really need to be doing.
Well, it's not as interesting to read for them otherwise. Yeah, why would I waste my time?
Yeah, it would be the same reading over and over again.
Right. Yeah. And that's what happens. Like,
Why did so-and-so leave me?
If you're at a psychic fair, you know, it's the same people that come back every month asking the same damn questions, right? It's so boring for the reader.
And some of those, depending on where you are as a transformation agent, for some people it's like they can't pick up the guitar and just start playing it. You may take those people on and say, okay, I'm going to do this reading because you need this, and they're in a space, but then things happen. It's just like, you know, the only solution for, say, a relationship issue is for that person to divorce or get away from that person. Mm-hmm. If there's different elements, it's like disconnecting emotionally from the relationship that takes time. It's like, so I had to go and you know, just leave. The divorce is happening 6 months. I see. That doesn't help them.
No.
It may, in terms of, okay, you've got a perimeter of 6 months, but here's what you've got to do. You know, you also realize, up to you, but you're not kind of ready. You're emotionally involved. You got these. You don't have a plan. So it's not going to help you just to say that it's coming in six months. So what are you going to do? And at 6 months, you may say, I've gotten this and taken control, and now we're doing some work. Mm-hmm. So there are all these perimeters that I tend to say, look at this. It's not just, you know, this. I mean, I do stuff like that all the time. They call me back. He called Tuesday. You said he was, oh my God, I can't believe you. Oh yeah, no. So now here you go. Right. Give you something else. Cause it's more, I mean, you know, there are some people where I take them to, they're going to have to do some work. It's like, you cannot continue to show up. And if they don't, I mean, it kind of naturally happens. Like, if they know they're not getting, if I put it out there and they're not doing that work, they can't afford it. You know, it's like, they don't want to pay the money to just do
also,
that.
Also, what about, what's coming up to me is these ideas. It sounds like a little bit like coaching. There's a little coaching that shows up in some of your work. And then where is that point where you go, well, I'm ready to do a referral. I think this person could really benefit from some professional service of some sort or another.
Oh, right. All the time.
Well, yeah, I run into that a lot because I have a boundary too about them not coming more often to me than every 6 months. I'll say, I can pop the hood, point at the engine of your life. I can tell you where stuff isn't right, but I am not the mechanic to fix this. You know, you need a therapist to help you with that.
I love that analogy.
Well, I will coach them a little bit via email. You know, read this, do that, if they have questions. Mm-hmm. But if it starts turning into a thing where they're putting me in kind of a therapeutic role, I'm not trained for that. So I'm not going to do that. That's somebody else's job.
I love that. I've seen in forums online where there are more people starting to say, I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. I am a fortune teller, or however they want to define it, and say, I just don't do those things. I'm kind of a little bit like, okay, but you still need to have tools to recognize that okay, this is something else, and be able to transition people to say, I'm going to refer you, or are you in this, or do you have this? Mm-hmm. I believe that some people, when we're the first line of defense, mm-hmm. and some people actually are in therapy, mm-hmm. or they're in such a crisis that you're just, what we offer as paraprofessional helpers are first line that they may not be able to get to their, you know, mm-hmm. therapist. 911 is, you know, it's a metal. I love that people say that, but 911, if you call someone and you're feeling suicidal, they're going to take you and put you in an institution, mm-hmm. like right away. Mm-hmm. Most people don't want that.
Right.
And I know that there, it's just like putting expiration dates on food. It's like, this stuff is really not bad, but we have to have that warning. But I think to tell people to call 911, nobody's understanding. That is for if you were like bleeding, dying, okay. And then there's for police. And if they come and get you and you're feeling a certain way, you're going somewhere, right, to calm down.
But what I would like to add, as a person who does, it's not often, but occasionally do have to interface with professional services like that, they're not going to put you away. They're going to evaluate you first, and they will only put you into some kind of protective, usually 24-hour service to make sure you don't kill yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
But they will evaluate you and see if maybe you need a little extra help, or if you're a harm to yourself. That's what they're looking for. So, and what I love hearing from both of you, and I totally concur, is how important boundaries are, and knowing what your own boundaries are, and knowing what resources are available in the community. And really, and this is my word for it, and I think other people use this too, is what we're doing often is brief therapy. Because sometimes people either don't have access to, can't afford to, or have a taboo against seeing a professional when those type of issues come up. But they know that there are some folks in our world who are safe and supportive and will give them what they need for that moment. And also maybe give them a wake-up call to where maybe they're inspired to get the help they need, mm-hmm. or to follow that coaching that you're doing. And I think that's a great message to pass on to other people who are new at this and who already have maybe some psychic gifts but haven't quite developed their, let's just say, their practice yet.
Yeah. Well, and it's just good to define what is it that you do, because otherwise you will get pulled into things, you know, you'll get pulled into the deep end.
Now, I know that you are a busy gal there in Dallas, and I know you do parties.
I'm trying to actually pull back on the parties. Yes. I just can't do all this.
So I don't know if you want us to give out your contact information.
Probably not.
Okay. All right. So that's the reason. So folks, if you don't see the contact information, it's because this gal's busy. And if you see her at a conference, like we see her sometimes, or... you know, you run into her on the street because you can't miss her. She's so gorgeous. Just say hi. Send her some love.
Well, we want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here at Oracle Soup. This has been an amazing conversation. I feel like we get enough of each other and have to see each other. So this is very, very fortunate for us.
It's good time. Good.
Welcome to our kitchen.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you for spending time with us on Oracle Soup. We invite your comments and podcast suggestions on our Facebook page, also called Oracle Soup. And be sure to visit our website, oraclesoup.org, for hot new servings of our saucy talks. You can also subscribe to the Feed Burner or listen to our pantry of Oracle Soup archived recordings, along with articles and links to more resources. And be sure to visit our personal websites to receive more information about us and the things that we offer individually. For Katrina, visit tarotcounseling.org. And counseling is spelled counseling.org, like in Oregon, O-R-G. And for Gina, visit tarotadvisor.com. An advisor is spelled A-D-V-I-S-O-R. This content and the content of these podcasts are intended only to provide a summary and general overview on matters of interest. It is not intended to be comprehensive, nor does it constitute legal advice or legal opinion. This content is intended, but not promised or guaranteed, to be current, complete, or up to date, and should in no way be taken as an indication of future results. You should seek legal or other professional advice before acting or relying on any of the content. And thanks again for listening to Oracle Soup. Y'all come back now.